This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3721, for Monday, the 7th of November, 2022. Today's show is entitled HPR Community News for October 2022. It is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers Dave, Ken, and Rowan, and is about 54 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is, HPR volunteers talk about shows released and comments posted in October 2022.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ken Fallon. You're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. Today, it is community news. And joining me as ever is...
Hello, it's Dave Morris from Edinburgh.
And from the other side of the pond...
Hi, it's Rowan from Baltimore.
What state is Baltimore in, Rowan?
It's in Maryland. We're like 60 miles north of Washington, D.C.
Super. I should know that.
Yeah, I, if you'd asked me, I couldn't have told you. Though I was looking at where the Lidl stores were in your area, Rowan, but so I know a little bit more.
Anyway, HPR, Hacker Public Radio, is a community podcast where all the shows are submitted by listeners like you. And right now we have a call for shows open, so it would be an ideal time to sneak those shows in and help out the project here. And this show itself is released on the first Monday of the month, and we go over everything that has occurred in the last month. And... this is where Dave normally introduces the new hosts.
Yes, yes. And oh, wow, we've got three new hosts. Welcome all new hosts. We have Paul J. And
very good.
We have Mode 7, spelt in an elite form.
So yeah, I like
threw,
it.
Threw me slightly because of my ancient brain. And we have cchits.net team.
So what we'll do, if that's okay with you guys, is we'll nip through all the shows that were released last month, this being October. So last month was started with the HPR Community News for September 2022. And there were no comments, which is good. It means we said nothing controversial or annoying. We were just talking beforehand about... possibly moving this time. We currently link it to UTC, which is great for computers, but not so good for humans because 3 o'clock appointments tend to occur at 3 o'clock and not 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock. So we might have a discussion about switching it to a better time. And if you have times that would be better, then feel free to suggest them in the show notes. We do record it on the Saturday prior to the Monday. So, misinformation, disinformation, fake news, you are a product and target for it all. This was from Lurking Prion, and it has one comment from some guy on the internet. Rowan, would you like to take that one?
Sure. So, some guy on the internet comments, bravo, bravo.
And the next slide.
Sorry, I'm showing my newbie skills at this. I forgot to actually click to the comments. Bravo, bravo, as the subject. This was a great show. I love the difference in opinions, and the topics are brilliant. Please provide more.
Excellent. Yes. Look who's just popped in. Hello, Archer7201.
I think Archer72 likes to be observer rather than
okay.
We'll I shouldn't that. Speak for him in that respect. But
hello, hello. He says,
"You're welcome. If you want to join."
So the following day, we had Spectrogram from Tattoo, which was a way to edit audio in Audacity, specifically clicks and stuff. And I had never considered this even possible. Brilliant.
Yeah. I have seen the Spectrogram, thought, oh yeah, that's nice, but I'd never considered using it for anything. I haven't actually tried yet, but I will be doing so very soon, I think.
Yeah, I think I've only ever seen that, like using it when you're watching a video, like when they do the visualizations, but I've never thought about it, and it's like, oh yeah, I guess you could actually use it for editing.
Can you delete the certain parts out or certain frequencies and leave the other ones? I don't know. Was that clear in the podcast?
I didn't come away understanding how to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know whose fault that was. Probably mine, but if there was a fault at all. I don't really know. But to know that there are clicks and nasties that you maybe have missed in scanning through otherwise, it would be an advantage anyway.
For me, I think it seemed more like a way to mark like where in the timeline you needed to look for mm-hmm. them.
Yeah.
That's sort of what I got from it, but I could be missing something too.
Okay, and some guy on the internet had comments. Dave, would you like to take this one?
Yep. He says, I gave it a go. I had no idea this was in Audacity. I was very excited to know there may be a way to remove the hum of my HVAC, but this still isn't possible. This was a nice short rabbit hole to wander around in for a day or two. I learned more about audio frequencies and how to interact with them in Audacity. Great show.
That's strange, because you can remove the hum from HVAC. So
yeah.
Record
my son... My son did a degree which involved that sort of sound editing, and he did show me that you can put various filters in that will take out 60 hertz and stuff like that.
Yeah, but it'll also, if you just record like a minute of silence beforehand mm-hmm. and then go into tools or effects and noise reduction or something like that. Can't remember, I don't have it open. And it says get noise profile, and then you highlight the area that you're not talking in. And then you select the whole lot, and if it finds that anywhere else, it'll remove it off. So that is possible. Use that mm-hmm. all the time.
That's what I do with all of mine, actually.
Okay, following day, episode 3699, old and new video game board games with guest Bin RC. This is a podcast by Celeste, and it was an interview basically on favorite games, Linux games, retro games, and board games.
It's very good. It was more of a sort of guest host sort of thing, I think.
Yeah.
That was how I read it anyway, but I love these chat type shows, and this was great. I found it very interesting to listen to, and I enjoyed the dynamic between the hosts. That's always the fun aspect in my mind.
Yep, very true. The following day, episode 3700, only 300 more left. Actually, no, this is episode 4000 then, in total. 4000 episodes with the twat episodes, 300 of them. So, introduction to bat files, more on DOS, this time it's batch files, and that is where I started my scripting experience on DOS.
Very good. I do like Hooker's way of doing these things. It's a really nicely put together show, I think.
It's definitely a walk down memory lane.
I always imagine there's some poor sucker out there just waiting for the next show to fix some ancient computer program thing that's running in DOS and a virtual machine and a virtual machine in the cloud somewhere.
Yeah. I better get on to the VAX VMS series then for those guys.
Yep. Following day, we had an introduction by Paul J, and wow, he has had a very wide and varied life. A programmer from the hardware up, full stack programmer from the silicon up. So I expect loads of shows, and this one was on Riser FS and why you would use it and perhaps why you would no longer use it.
Yeah, I actually did use it for a while when I was at work because everybody was saying how wonderful it was. And yeah, I didn't have any problems with it, but then I stopped working there. So I didn't bring it home and use it at home. But it did everything I wanted to do, actually.
So there are a few comments. I'll do the first, and Ron, you can do the next one. Why not? See what he did there. Very interesting. Thanks, Paul. Really enjoyed the show.
And comment 2 from Kevin O'Brien. Great show. Thank you for sharing this. Good information.
Beza comes in with a comment saying, perfect first show. This first show is everything an HBR episode should be. It told us about a file system many will not have heard of, but not only that, undoubtedly inspired many of us to look deeper into the subject matter thanks to your excellent delivery.
Then Wendigo said, excellent first episode. Thanks for your introduction to the episode and for discussing Riser FS. I used it as a primary file system ages ago and enjoyed hearing about it again.
And from Brian in Ohio, great show. I enjoyed this show very much. Looking forward to the series of shows you alluded to in the episode. I wonder if you might tell us about your programming language sometime. Might it have been a Lisp or even better, a Forth? Keep them coming.
Cool.
Uh-huh. And David and Mr. X got together to talk about an Easter egg. Badoomch.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I spent so much time discussing with them about the legality of putting that thing at the end. But then it was, I realized you were writing that music yourself on the Scion. Which
effectively, yeah.
So effectively, you own the copyright. You can do whatever the hell you want with it. You're using Scion as a tool, and the piece itself was way out of copyright. So,
yeah, and it wasn't even an audio file. I think Mr. X actually recorded it off his Scion, using Audacity or something. So we had a comment from King Heezy. Jerusalem says, the closing song gave me a start. It's a tune setting in our church's Psalter hymnal. What a great tune.
There you go.
Yes. It's a popular tune in the UK because there's a thing called the promenade concerts that are run in London. And the last night of the proms, as they call it, they usually play, that's one of the tunes that the orchestra plays. And it's sort of a... I don't know. It's a theme. It's a national theme or a national song or something like that. I don't know whether that's official or not.
I heard anyway. It's the unofficial anthem of the.
That's
of England.
Yes.
The
yes.
country of England.
Yes. Yeah. Scotland doesn't come into it.
Did I just crash mumble or am I still here?
You're here.
You're here.
Excellent. Next day we had, speaking of crashing, the McCurdy house tour by operator brings us on a house tour, and actually that Ron, did a lot of the bits and pieces in this make sense to you, because he's referring to items that I have no clue what they are.
Yes, generally speaking, I always like his shows. They always inspire me to do more taking care of things around the house and repairing things. It sometimes is easy to slide into that, oh, we can just, you know, get a new one. But yeah, no, it sort of tracks for a American family home.
Yeah, but a lot of the stuff, as he's talking about it, there's an assumption that I know what he's talking about. I don't know. The Hershey bar is a classic example. We don't have them over here, so what the hell is a Hershey bar? But I've seen enough memes now to know the difference. But great, great stuff. There was nearly another 2/3 of that episode, but the recorder failed, so he truncated it down. He'll have to re-record the other two.
Oh, that's a shame.
So this is the follow-up by Archer72, and we can say whatever we like, because I probably can't get his mic working. And this is the spreadsheet template for doing your budgets, and how to do the settings and stuff in LibreOffice. Quite useful.
It's amazing what you can do in LibreOffice, but it's amazing how difficult it is to find, you know, proper guides to what's possible. There is a LibreOffice site where you can look for hints and tips and methodologies and stuff, which I've used in the past. But they're, you know, necessarily give you everything you want. But it's out there. There's also Stack Thingy. There's various sites. Stack Overflow that will give you some input, I think.
Think in this case, this is something that I wouldn't have thought to even look for in a spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I do like trying to use LibreOffice, but it's definitely not as many tutorials out there on where things are when you're trying to find where they've tucked something you know that's going to be there. Like in the pivot table, I was trying to get subtotals the other day to show up, and I was like, where? And you sort of had to, you know, I finally found some reference to it, but it was like not obvious at all, like how you'd turn subtitles on, or not subtitles, subtotals on in a pivot table.
You should. Yeah. OpenOffice.org has tutorials that apply to LibreOffice, says Archer72. And don't forget Hookah's classic series on LibreOffice, which he has got the full blog post up. I think I was bugging him to do a book about that, a printable PDF or something on LibreOffice as well, on that entire series. Would be very useful.
Indeed.
The year of the free BSD desktop. I talk about configuring FreeBSD as a desktop OS and give tips for those coming from Linux by Bin RC. Who else? So we have a few comments. The first one is by DNT. Time running out on 2022. Thanks for outlining the installation of FreeBSD. I tried it out this weekend and I'm kind of surprised. A lot of stuff is available via PKG. Wi-Fi and touchpad don't work out of the gate, but I don't care. My only criticism is that the GUI setup program like Slackware is really not worth it. Setting up Arch Linux is just as easy, but because you apply your decisions a setup in mostly the same way you do any other day, you just learn more about your system. I'm glad to have installed it so I can piddle around with it. Is that a... because piddle means something completely different to me.
it's an archaic, well, in my mind, slightly archaic expression, but that's based on an English perspective. It was a term my father would say, what are you piddling around with now? So, comment.
Uh-huh.
It means just to mess around with stuff, to do in a sort of semi-time wasting way, I guess.
Yep, that's pretty much the framework I know it in.
So let's see.
Comment two from Kevin O'Brien.
Yep.
Great show. Very good job here, giving detailed information on using this operating system.
Cool. Bin RC comes in with some additional links in a comment, and he says he found some helpful things, some Linux to FreeBSD quick start, as a link. I'm not going to tell you the links, but they're there in the comment, and some more information about supported hardware. So looks good. Maybe we should stitch that into the show itself so that it gets transferred across to the Internet Archive version.
Very good, very good. That would be a good idea. And the future of technology, a philosophical look at the future of technology by Lurking Prime. And I reply, wrong, wrong, wrong. Microsoft is into open source because overnight their server business dissipated when Dockerization came along and destroyed their server market. They had no choice but to get on the bandwagon, like they did with BSD TCP/IP stack back in the day. Their strategy is, and forever will be, embrace, extend, and extinguish. Do not mistake Windows subsystem for Linux as being our friends. They are running Linux binary executables native on Windows and not the other way around. This is one piece of software designed to counteract corporate Linux asking for Linux laptops. Selling an operating system is very, very profitable and is required for growth. It locks you into the desktop, it locks you into Office, and it locks you into Teams. Just by the way, what I'm commenting there about is that this argument that everything's going to be in the cloud and the operating system doesn't matter, and then that's been pushed, that the operating system doesn't matter. Whereas that's That's kind of what I'm saying. Remember at the beginning of COVID, all the video conferencing memes were about being on Zoom calls, whereas now at the end of COVID, the majority of businesses are using Teams for their work. Anyway, I continue on. Just to prove that this is not a dying business, I link to an article, How Microsoft Makes Its Billions, and I quote directly, according to Microsoft data, Windows revenue increased $1.9 billion, or an increase of 9%, driven by growth in the Windows commercial and Windows OEM. So let that sink in. $2 billion increase in Windows licenses. Windows commercial products and cloud services increased by 18%, driven by increased demand for Microsoft 365. Windows OEM revenue increased 9% ahead of PC market growth. So, D&T says? Oh, sorry. D&T. And the views of Ken Fallon are not necessarily the views of Hacker Public Radio. Do no blah, 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 blah.
And D&T says, capitalism or technology? Interesting talk. Thanks for this. After listening, I was thinking that maybe adding a third co-host whose views contrast more with your own could make your shows even more thought-provoking. As for this episode, I have so many thoughts, it wouldn't be right to expect Ken to read them in the Community News show, but I think I can summarize them in one question. Is it possible to talk about the future, a future of technology that has nothing to do with capitalism?
I like the sound of that. Windigo says, relatable. The quote, you need to be quiet now, I don't like your future, is one I can relate to. I often feel the same way when I see trends in development, technology, etc., heading away from the parts that I enjoy and find interesting. The HPR episodes on Gopher, Forth, and other older technologies do make me hopeful that we'll always have our niche, though.
Yeah, and I think I've seen things, what goes around comes around. We're basically back, Dave, to a dumb terminal mainframe situation, really. You know, you can call it a smartphone, but it's essentially a dumb terminal, and your mainframe is your Google's and cloud and your Google and Apple clouds. Mm-hmm. You know, that's basically, you log into your mainframe, you don't need, nobody cares what terminal you're on. But I personally think it's very important, because what's coming around the next hill will be a return to individual computing, a return to PC on the desktop, everybody having their own PC on the desktop, everybody processing locally, simply because somebody will come up with a good way of rebranding it, and all the problems that we had with blah will be fixed. And we won't like that future either, but yeah, there you go.
I know. I find myself disliking the future as much as the comment, be quiet and I don't like your future.
But let me just be clear here that I loved this episode. Lurking Prime and sorry, what's his friend's name? Brady. I do love these discussions, and if it was anybody else, I wouldn't have put the comment in, because I know these guys can handle it. So.
Yeah,
I've given them so much praise down through the years, down through the episodes. If we all didn't agree, where would we be?
I very much echo that comment that these shows are really good. I look forward to hearing more of these. They're just the sort of things I want to hear.
Okay, we'll move on. Recovering a massive 3.5 horsepower electric motor from a thread mill. Revival of future robot parts is from Mechiatroniac. Sorry for butchering your handle every time. So this stuff, in a way, it's good that the days of landfills at the side of the road are not are gone. But
Well,
but on the other hand, you do miss an opportunity to bring out hardware. I tried to sneak out a few bits and pieces from the hardware bin in our local recycling center, and the guy took them from me and smashed them in front of my face. So, yeah. Okay.
I think I might have mentioned there's a channel I watch on YouTube, a German guy who... sort of Bavarian area, and they're the scrapyards around there are full of amazing stuff. And he does shows where he goes and collects a sort of van load of stuff and takes them back and repairs them and builds them into interesting things. So yeah,
cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I expect that to be on your next YouTube channel summary thing.
I think it might already have been. I'll check and see anyway.
One of Spoons says, gravity generators. If the DC motor has permanent magnets, like most battery-powered drill drivers, then you can just turn the wheel and get electricity from the input terminals. The advantage of such high power unit horsepower is that you don't even need gears to take advantage of the concentrated sources of energy, like your own body weight or sacks of grit. As you probably noticed by now, when you're in barn territory, then your mental scope finds wider focus. You can make good batteries and capacitors on the bucket or barrel scale, which are far less toxic than lead or lithium. Right, that's a show right there, that line.
It is.
Absolutely, yes.
And it looks like Mechatronic replies, electricity, hadn't thought of that. But then you have to haul the weight back up unless you can take advantage of tides. But then you have underwater problems. taking advantage of a local stream to turn the wheel would probably work. Ultimately, I'd like to build an electric buggy / robot or something like that out of it.
My brother has a mill race at the back of his house, and why he doesn't have some sort of power generation from it, I don't know.
Wow. Well, it's another channel that I'm sure I've mentioned before, a guy who moved from London to South Wales and bought land up on Upper Hill, and he then built himself a turbine to run off the stream, and now he's got a business making these for other people around the area in Wales and stuff. He is really interesting to hear his outlook on making stuff, but yeah. So, yeah.
You will no doubt reference the show in which you discussed that.
It sounds like another YouTube show is coming up.
Yeah.
Some guy on the internet says, cool beans. I love projects like this, taking something old or discarded and making use of it. How'd you learn to repair circuits, small motors, and other electronics? Was this a hobby expanded into life, or do you have training?
Insomnia is a hobby. Good Lord. Trumpet John, I do not envy you, sir. But this is a show about how John basically deals with insomnia. And DMT says, sleep with me, the hilarious podcast recommendation. That guy truly has talent, as you said. And here in HPR, we've had to change the outro music because people like to fall asleep to our dulcet tones.
I did really enjoy this episode. I thought, it was a unique way to take advantage of a poor situation, poor sleep situation at least. And I have been known to use some podcasts, I won't name which ones, to get back to sleep too if I wake up in the middle of the night and I can't turn my brain off.
I once had the great compliment from somebody I won't mention, who said, oh yeah, I listen to your podcast as I go to sleep at night. they send me to sleep. So I thought, very good. This public service I'm doing here.
The following day, we had relationships to games and console generations, which is some ramblings by Mode 7. And I, just like you, Dave, I couldn't figure that out until the text-to-speech said, read it out for me. Mode 7.
Yeah, struggle with these.
Yeah, that's a good one. Some ramblings about the next generation consoles used to mean to games, gamers, and game developers. I'm not particularly into games at all, but I do accept what he was saying in this episode. It's quite interesting, the buzz, the spark of a new platform.
Mm-hmm. I thought it's a great show, good first show, and I'm just impressed that people can speak more or less off the cuff, I would guess, because he was driving, he said, as he was doing this, and put together a well-reasoned, well sort of planned show like this. So, very good.
Super. More of that type of thing, we say. Changing plans again. This was Ahuka's and his Mrs. Ahuka's travel plans around the US. And D&T says, traveling, great stuff. I should remember to keep a diary next time I go somewhere. Thank you for laying this stuff out. A valuable reference to have.
And Kevin O'Brien says, you're most welcome. I'm glad you enjoyed it. My first travel diary is from January 1979, when my now wife and I went to San Francisco. And there we got engaged. So I've been doing it for some time. Now I'm in the process of scanning in old diaries, OCRing them, and getting them into shape.
Nice. The OCRing is a good idea. A little bit of a
sounds like show, a number of shows, yes.
Yeah, because I'm doing my inevitable Scan and Go episodes. I think I might have one more in my archiving series to do. And OCR will be a good one because you can do it after the fact.
Very good. I've written diaries when I've been traveling, and it had never occurred to me that to do anything with them other than leave them in a box in the attic or something. But I think the earliest one was 1988 or something, going to the Far East and Malaysia and Thailand and stuff like that. But I probably wrote crap like, oh, I fell asleep on the coach again, blah, blah, blah. And it was, so I don't know, it's maybe worth digging out, see if there's anything in it. But it may just be the ramblings of somebody who can't write diaries.
Very good. Zen Floater 2 gives us a review of Cars. And I did not know where this was going, but it is interesting. I find it's interesting that basically the premise of the show is that there are no cars. Everything's like trucks and 4x4s and big honking vehicles.
Yeah. That was something I hadn't appreciated. I had assumed that if I'd gone and looked at these websites, that there would be a multitude of cars. But I followed up and looked, and no, it's all trucks and SUVs and electric cars, which he discounted as being something to talk about. Fair enough.
I think that ties back into capitalism and technology, which is sort of, you know, where things get pushed.
It comes down to a tax decision, wasn't it? That their vehicles under one ton were going to get taxed more, or there was some weird thing like that. So then...
I don't remember exactly which, but I know also that... certain frame types, because they can be used on a farm, so like your trucks, they then get they're not charged as much, because the idea is you don't want to hurt the farmers. But of course, then 90% of the vehicles are built and are not ever seeing a farm.
Yeah, and then you don't want to be the one in the Mini Cooper, like, down on the ground when everybody else got the big trucks and going to run over you. You want some fighting chance of surviving a crash. So
yeah, there is that too.
You never know what way things are going to go.
Although I have to say, Mini Coopers are very popular, at least in my area.
The last CCH show ever. This is
hang
a show.
On, hang on. I think there was a comment.
There's a comment, and I think it's my turn.
Yeah, go for it.
The comment from, excuse me, some guy on the internet says, big human equals big vehicle. Americans are too big to fit in cars, lol. So we'll need 18 wheels to cart us around in the next 10 years.
You may very well say that, but I couldn't possibly comment.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Look, it makes me laugh, though.
Now, the last show of the ever, CC Hits show ever, I was so disappointed with that, with the CC Hits ending. Really, I was. Very sad. Anyway, I forgot to mention during that show that it was intended to go out on HBR the whole time. It was intended to be a dual recording going out on both. So, but just to be on the safe side, I asked the community. And some guy on the internet says, I've never heard this site until now. Sad to hear the project is ending, but I'm happy to know it existed. I love the themes played at the beginning and end of the show. How do I find that track? I searched the Internet Archive for more hits. Are there any other sites like this? I now have a hunger for CC music.
And the love bug says CC hits theme tune. SGOT Scotty, or some guy on the internet. The theme is GMZ by Scott Altham, and it gives the URL to the music. It's a shame about CC Hits demise, as it is such a good project to be involved in. As far as other CC music sites are concerned, there's Jamendo and the Free Music Archive, but they both have their own quirks and foibles. Shows that select and feature CC music, like the Bugcast, Disclosure, my own show, filter out a lot of the chaff and probably insert some too. Cheers, Dave.
Excellent. An excellent show, the Bugcast, who's been supplying most of the CC Hits songs for the last while. But yeah, my plan is to listen to the Bugcast and then delete, skip over the songs, knowing that they will come out in CC Hits later, and then I could play them one by one.
Very good. I didn't realize the relationship between the Bugcast and CC Hits, so that was interesting to hear. I certainly used to listen to CC Hits, but sort of got less interested in CC music after a while. I think probably getting my hearing not being so brilliant has been the cause. But it was a great idea, brilliant idea, and it was quite a delightful thing to exist. So yeah, sad it's gone too.
Yeah, we'll see. Following day, Bash Snippets short circuit evaluation in a Bash Boolean expressions. Dave, I had to get some coffee when I was doing this.
Oh, okay.
Well, mostly because I've been doing this for ages, and I don't know why it's new to you, really.
It's not new in the sense of it's a new concept, but I didn't realize that Bash would behave. I always thought of it as a bit of a toy system, because I'd come from other command. No, actually, that's not fair, because some of the earlier command batch thingies that I've used in the past were quite sophisticated, but Bash has actually improved a lot on it. But it's still got a feeling of being slightly thrown together in places, I find. So I was a bit surprised that it would do that. And it doesn't say so in a way that makes sense to me. But so anyway, I just wondered if anybody else didn't know and would appreciate being told.
Yeah, no, it was good. It's just the sudo apt-get and sudo apt-upgrade is my introduction to it. And then I realized, well, you could do it the same way with the two pipes.
Yep. Yes, but the thing, I think the blank spot in my thinking was that that's the same as a Boolean expression that you would use in an if. And that's where your different your short circuiting is happening. That was the revelation for me, actually. But I just pointed out that they were similar in case anybody else had a similar blank spot.
No, good to have it in the series. And we have one guy on the internet, Scotty. That is a brilliant handle, no matter what way you use it. Scotty, great show. I didn't know Bash had special names for its expressions, like short circuit evaluation. I really need to work on my shorthand expressions, for example, pipe and cleaner scripts. The examples in the show notes are very valuable. Thank you for providing them. Now I can brick my computer in style.
Yes. I like that comment.
And some guy on the internet had his own show, Threat analysis your attack surface with some Hacker News stuff. So this is a bit like Talky to Me News back in the day. Good roundup. Do you want to do Claudio M's one there, Ron?
Sure. Claudio M says, great episode. Really enjoyed this news roundup. Looking for more, Scotty.
And ZenFloat2 says, oh no, as a title, and oh no, as a body of his comment, which is alluding to some of the remarks in the show, in case you weren't quite aware of it, as I wasn't when I first read that comment.
D&T, this just in, amazing.
Kevin O'Brien, wonderful. I think you could fill the hole left when Deep Keep dropped out. Please keep doing this.
And I said, beautifully done. Love this. Your assistant did a fine job.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. And some guy on the internet had the next issue as well. Quantum computing, encryption, password manager, password generation. And Google and Amazon are listening. And Beezy says, tinfoil hat engaged. Thanks for the show.
And one of Spoon says, proton mail shopping for law enforcement. The case of the French activist was a useful wake-up call for many. They were arrested as a result of information relating to email account creation and identification of the device used. Essentially, Swiss courts will force Proton to provide all available information if a crime has been established. Remember, new legislation is created daily and comes into effect straight away. In this case, the activist was campaigning about gentrification. Proton have since provided other documentation clarifying ways to avoid them having any useful information to give. However, you won't usually notice that stuff on the front page of advertising for many service providers. At least nobody disappeared in this case. Thanks for the stimulation, Scotty.
And I enjoyed the show very much, so I wrote a comment and I said, very interesting discussion. Some great and important topics. Excellent show. They spoke about Fairphone, and I actually have a Fairphone 3 Plus, but I haven't replaced standard Android yet because I'm concerned that I'll break the phone, being a bit inept with phones. It's an okay phone, but I hate Android in its unmodified state. And I get daily calls. That was another thing that was mentioned. I get daily calls from unknown numbers. I look them up on a site called whocalled.co.uk, mostly find their spam calls, then I block them. My network provider, which is GIFGAF, seems to be flagging spam calls using a database like this, which is very useful. So I assume many people get this sort of stuff nowadays, that you get an incoming call you've never seen before, and it's marked that it's classified as spam. I used to be heavily into email encryption. I even got my PGP keys signed in 2014 at FOSDEM at Belgium. I'm using it a lot less now, though the latest Thunderbird has apparently good support for PGP. It's a shame this didn't become a more generally accepted method of making email secure.
Yeah, a bit too difficult, but. DeepGeek says, phone tiling window manager. Great show. I've been hanging around you guys and became a weirdo. Classic. Lol. That was a quote from the show. That would make a good t-shirt, actually. Been hanging around HPR and became a weirdo. Wanted to let you know that a YouTube personality named Robert Braxman sells degoogled phones. He regresses Android phones to run only Android open source project. A fingerprint can follow you around as you switch phones. In combination of three cell towers, your phone sends the most time in. Tiling window managers, there's a program called WinWrangler, runs in the background and adds the three most popular tiling window arrangements to any window manager or desktop environment. It talks to the window manager through the WWMH specification to add features to any window manager. I like Fluxbox, and if you ever try it and want, I have a configuration files that adds pseudo tiling to it. Great show. Thanks, Deep Geek. Love to hear another show from Deep Geek. So, the next show is the last show for the month, How I Got Into Tech, My Journey Into Technology by Lurking Prion. And there are as yet no comments on that show.
Interesting. Really? Journey. Go on, Rowan, you go.
I was basically going to say the same thing. Yeah, I really enjoyed it, and it was really interesting, his path winding through, especially through the naval's... now it's going to go out of my head. Atomic power, you know, stuff and everything is just pretty crazy, it seems.
Yeah, fascinating journey through military routes to get to where he is today. It's I wonder how common that is. I don't know people that do that sort of thing, so it's interesting to hear about.
Right, so that's the shows. Then we have the other comments that we missed, or the other comments to other shows. And one on your show, actually, Ron, which was fixing an automatic cutoff mechanism to an electric motor. Some guy in life that says, thank you. This is a very satisfying show. I was worried for a bit when you made the first cut and the motor didn't work. But when you returned with an update, I was excited. Are these electric mowers worth purchasing over gas mowers? I see everything electrical as proprietary design, unless it demonstrates otherwise. I just don't want to buy a mower that comes with a monthly service fee from John Deere. Thanks for the show.
Oh, nice. I didn't even see that. Did we get notifications, or do we just have to look back at shows? Because I always
seem to miss a speed.
I guess I need to start what's it called? Subscribing to that feed.
Yep.
I have that feed in my Thunderbird because you can watch RSS feed. So I see all the comments coming in, most of which I post, of course. So I see them that way as well. If you have an RSS reader that's easily run, then that's a good thing.
Thunderbird even supports it. So I would look at them there.
Yeah, I'll have to add it to my Thunderbird. That's cool. Thank you. So for HPR show 3694, Robo Tripping Rave Lords of the Apocalypse by Mechatronic, some guy on the internet says, please continue. I love HPR for its diversity. This type of show sounds like it was a lot of work, but it's fantastic. If you were to do a future show of this type or continue the story, lower the music a bit. It was difficult to hear in some places. I also would love some more backstory on why the x86 certain die size chips were destroyed. I know you said a neutron star caused it, and I'm not looking for something super scientific. I just like more story. Thanks again for the show.
So I commented on Binarsi's show 3695, how I watched YouTube with Newsboat, and I said, hi. Great show, but I have questions. This was most interesting. I tried out Newsboat after installing it with MPV and YTDLP. I tried your configuration file as a starting point, but I got an error. I found Newsboat didn't like the line bind key capital U bash BA show URLs. I use show URLs, which I found in the documentation, so it's probably just a typo. Also, what's link handler? If you mentioned it in the audio, I missed it. Thanks for the show. I suspect I will be using Newsboat from now on. So, yeah. He actually did answer some of these to me directly. So I should maybe ask him to, in case anybody else has stumbled, they should something added to, as a comment to mine might be a good idea. But anyway, whatever.
Okay. And Nate has a response to the same show. Use of individuous instance to get their channel ID. Thanks for the Newsboat reference. So, I think that's it. We have mailing list discussions. And it was about the last CC Hits show, which we were talking about, and the OLF conference call participation. We have the call for shows open, And also, I was surprised, it was in the previous month, about people wanting to help out on FOSDEM. So I'm going to request a day for FOSDEM, and if people want to help out on the day behind the boot, representing HPR or your own podcast, feel free to help me out. Would be good to have another name or two, to even if you don't want to be there the whole day, but if you can grab us a sandwich or stand in while we go get a rest, go to the restroom or grab a coffee or something. So that would be awesome, just to have a few people who could help out for an hour or two, or if you could help out for one day, that would be excellent, Smithers. Okay, Dave, tell me what you've been up to.
Well, one of the things was to keep on doing the same thing, which is to upload stuff to the Internet Archive, or re-upload shows which hadn't been fully uploaded before, because we didn't do it that way when they got uploaded. So come the end of October, we had reached 1,035 shows done and 523 left to do. And since the start of November, I've been carrying on with that process, of course. So I forget what the number is now, but it's a few more. So I reckon the rate I'm going, if I can keep it up over Christmas, New Year, and stuff, should be done in early February.
Very good, excellent. What else have we got on the agenda? Anything else, Ron?
Other than I, at some point I'd like to do a little more of a push on moving the site generator into a state that it's, you know, we could actually move it to the main site. I know there's, I created some, a project on the repo and started putting some tasks in there. I mean, I know it sounds like you're about 15 interrupts deep, Ken, so I understand this is not going to be fast. I did sort of put a target date of New Year's of this year just to sort of put something on there, but that was without, you know, that was just a general if life is good for everybody kind of date. But I guess I just need to have a little better understanding of like what needs to be done to make it, you know, possible. Because I don't, you know, I think it's at a state where if we work out a few things, then, you know, we can get it working and then we just fill in whatever's missing later. But like I said, I just think maybe offline or at a better time for you, you know, we could even record an episode just discussing plans or whatever.
Yeah. The date, switching it over before December, is a bad idea, given we're doing the New Year show. So 1st of January would be a better deadline, I guess.
Sure.
But let's do that. I need to have a think about it, actually, and I need to have a read of it. I need to get more sleep first.
That is important.
So that's it, folks. Anything else, Dave?
Nothing. Nothing really of any merit or interest.
So I'm just looking at the queue, and we're not. Yeah, we have lots. 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks free until the end of the year. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, with no slots filled at all. So yes, feel free to send in shows, people. And I see the same names coming up again and again and again, and that's been a thing with HBR, that it relies on the same people over time. But you really, if you can send in 4 shows a year, not 1 show a year is great. Anybody who sends in 1 show a year, you're off the hook. But if you could do 4 shows a year and just send them in, that would really help us out. And you can record them at the same time. So like, you know, record them one recording session per year, your part 1, part 2, part 3, or part 4, and then you can upload them throughout the year, so you don't even have to think about it for the next year. So peeps, if you've got shows, can you throw them in? That would be absolutely excellent. And with that, I will recommend that you tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Dave.
Hacker.
Public.
Radio.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, you can click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HBR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.